Hey, I'm Amanda from Trifecta Fitness. We're proud to be Clarksville's new Get Fit headquarters. Trifecta Fitness is a state-of-the-art spin and strength training studio. Our spin studio is truly one of a kind in this area, complete with 20 state-of-the-art live fitness bikes and an incredible sound system. Our strength training is done in small groups of six or fewer, and all of our strength and spin classes are scalable for every level of experience. Come see us in the heart of Clarksville, just behind MAPCO at the corner of Old Trenton Road and Wilma Rudolph Boulevard. Call us for more info at 931-542-6265 or download our Trifecta Fitness app for a full list of upcoming classes.
For every veteran, there is a story. A story about a calling to serve, to fight for the freedoms of the American people. And every story has a struggle, a sacrifice, and invisible wounds. Warrior Wads programs help veterans recover from PTSD and invisible wounds through exercise, nutrition, and connecting with other veteran leaders. It is estimated that 22 veterans die each day by suicide, and another 30 veterans die each day by substance abuse. These are preventable deaths. Warrior Wad is committed to fighting PTSD through fitness, nutrition, and community. Privilege and opportunity to support our heroes in their time of need. Will you join us and take action?
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back.
Misfit Nation Show.
We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their stories to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with the Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or an actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share your tips with the Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you are a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and show how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or feel embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you are a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation Show. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app. Also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date on our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show!
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the Sunday After Dinner Show. It's our first Sunday of March, our first show in March. So welcome back to the show. We had a good one tonight, a couple of announcements. First, to the Louisville Fire and Rescue Department. Man, what a rescue on the bridge the other day. Doing a high angle with ropes, rescuing a driver from the truck that almost fell off the bridge. That's amazing effort, and that's what you guys do every day that people don't get to see. Awesome job. Keep up that good work. Our consigliere is down. He had his appendix taken out today, so he won't be in the chat chatting with you tonight. I will be flying slow tonight, so this will be a different experience for me as it's been for the last couple months. I don't have any help in the chat. So if I miss something in the chat, don't get angry. I'll come back to you later. So tonight we have an awesome guest, U.S. Air Force veteran. She's a passionate advocate and host of She Serves, She Rose. She brings to life stories of remarkable women of color veterans, weaving a tapestry of empowerment, resilience, and shared experience. With her background in the Air Force, entrepreneurship, and community building, she invites audiences to join the transformative journey of extraordinary women who have served. So without further ado, let's welcome Marquetta Oliver to the Misfit Nation Show. Welcome, Marquetta.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Rich. Good to be here.
It's awesome that we were able to connect through our mutual friend. I believe Willis got us together a few months ago, and he's good at weaving everyone together. So it's awesome to have that link with him. I'm glad I reached him. Me and him talked about a year ago when he was starting his show, and I thought I was mentoring a guy, and now he is blowing up all over the airwaves. So it's great to have him as an advocate for me and for you as well.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
So, Marquette, I gave a two-sentence blurb about you, which I stumbled over a little bit there. But if you don't mind, give us a little more about you from as far back as you want to go, why you joined the Air Force besides the lobster and steaks on Fridays, to how we got here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And actually, the way that I ended up joining the Air Force was I spent a lot of time on the beach in high school. I never took the SAT, anything like that. I was very like beach vibes, you know, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And I actually had a really good friend that wanted to join the military reserve on the buddy program while she was on summer from college, our first year after high school. So we did our due diligence and looked in the yellow pages and caught the first recruiter that we found. And that turned out to be an active duty recruiter. He had us go take, you know, a pre-test just to see how we would do. We did well on the ASVAB, and he told us pretty much we needed to leave on the next flight smoking. She decided she was going to go home and stay in college. I said, sign me up. I'll leave on the next flight you got out. And I was told initially that because of my good scores on my ASVAB that I would get a great job when I joined the Air Force. And when I got there, that turned into the hospitality field, starting as a cook in the Air Force, which is more than cook in the Air Force. But that was the job that I got based on my ASVAB scores. So, yeah, it wasn't really my idea initially. My family was very surprised. And, packed up and went to Lackland.
Wow. You had to leave the surfboard behind. Man, I tell you.
Exactly. Leave the sand and the waves behind. And actually, like, comb my hair, slicked back, all of that stuff. I remember my first few days, it took a while for me to understand, you know, like, I'm sorry, sir, excuse me. Shut up. I was just trying to say. I learned really quickly to shut up. I said, sir.
But I was trying to say hello. Hello.
Yeah.
So after Lackland, where did you wind up?
I ended up at Whiteman Air Force Base in Knobnostra, Missouri. And so did more than cooking. I got into fitness, went and trained as a fitness instructor. And so I was writing out fitness plans, having a lot of fun there. And then I got deployed to Saudi Arabia. How you talk about the steak and lobster? I got deployed to Eskan Village in Saudi Arabia about 9/3/2001, where we were in villas. There was a pool. There was a really good restaurant. And 9/11 happened literally a week after we got to Saudi Arabia, turned into real world. I went from Eskan Village to Prince Sultan Air Base, and things got real, real fast. And I was no longer in a villa situation at all.
That's got to suck for you guys. I mean, I was on the border of Iraq, and it happened as well. But we were in the desert. We weren't in villas. But we did have an ice cream truck that came once a week, and that was awesome until 9/11 happened, and they shut it off. So that's that morale boost of the ice cream truck, the little M&M sandwiches. That's the only thing I remember that he had, that it was good. And that's the best part of my day when that guy comes in, or that's in defect, and then it was gone. Oh, man, it's worse than I thought. So for you, I know it was way worse than that.
Yeah, I was the only person selected out of my unit to get sent over to Prince Sultan Air Force Base. I mean, Air Base. So, you know, I was a 19, 20-year-old girl. I had just had a baby at home. He was 1 year old, and I was in Saudi Arabia by myself. And yeah, it was a real military real quick. I ended up being the enlisted aide for the three-star general that was running the air portion of the war. So I was on his schedule. And, you know, at that point, I was just wanting to get home to my baby.
Definitely. Yes. And maybe get a better schedule where you're not on someone else's.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, civilians, like, when I first got back from the military and I would, like, talk to my friends, they didn't believe that we're overseas deployed in a wartime situation and that we work every single day with no days off. I'm like, I don't know what you guys think the military is. Like,
it was not the Cub Scouts.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I was in Iraq for almost 14 months with one day off just because they made me take a day off. They said, you need a nap today. I guess if that's what you told me, I must be tired. All right. Thank you so much for that one day.
Right.
I guess I earned it.
I'm sure that took the time of the entire months you were there, that one day off.
I'm so refreshed. Right. I was able to do so much that one day. Definitely. So, I mean, you got your deployment, you got to Lackland, you went to deploy. How many years did you continuously serve before you decided to hang up the boots?
So actually that decision was made for me. After I came back, I was supposed to get out in July 2003. And about 6 months before that, it was decided that I was going to deploy to Jordan. And I had to take the anthrax inoculation, which the whole series took a year and a half to even get the full series. But when we went to Saudi Arabia, it wasn't a lawful order. We had Cipro pills on our person. When it's time to go to Jordan now, they're forcing us to take this vaccination. And I'm just against it completely. Again, this hippie girl from LA, I'm scared of these shots. I don't know what you guys are putting in them. None for me, please. No, thank you. And so that, again, turned into a really big deal. You don't get to tell the military, no, I was disobeying a lawful order. They kept scheduling me appointments. I kept finding every reason not to go. They told me they were going to ban me from the base. I would be court-martialed. And actually, it was the first time that I really used community to advocate for myself by going back, I mean, not going home, but making calls back home and getting some local politicians to kind of write some character letters for me that I did end up getting separated, but I didn't get that article. I didn't get a misconduct discharge. I didn't get banned from the base. All of those things that I was being threatened with. I kind of learned how to find my voice. That series is no longer a lawful order. We know, you know, there's a lot more opinions now with inoculations. People have a lot more choice. But at that time, I was definitely the first person at my base to refuse that. And I was made an example of for sure. So I ended up getting out 6 months before my enlistment was over.
Well, that sucks. Oh, well, but at least you stood up and fought for it, you know. And some people, like in the last year or so, they made the stand and they got booted so quickly during the COVID. You must take the COVID shot stuff. And they were getting booted left and right. But now on the flip side, they're offering them giant bonuses to come back.
Right. Yeah. I've heard about that. And it's like, yeah, I didn't realize that it was a big deal then. But, you know, as you live, keep on living. It's like, you know, I'm proud that I stood up for myself then. I do feel like the time that I served was honorable for sure. And I didn't even know that I was a veteran when I got out. You know, when I got discharged, I was like, OK, well, that was the end of that. It took almost 10 years for someone to tell me, do you know that you're a veteran?
Huh?
Exactly. And I'm like, no, I didn't retire. Actually, I got kicked out. I don't think I am. And I'm not the only one that doesn't even know that they're a veteran.
And there's a lot of people that if they didn't deploy, they felt they weren't veterans. If right. they didn't leave stateside, they don't believe they were a veteran. And maybe they did their tour honorably and I'm not a veteran. I didn't go to war.
Right.
You have to tell them, you have to look at the definition. You have to look at the definition of what a veteran is.
You're exactly.
Country, you're now a veteran, and yeah, you get to be old and crusty like the rest of us. But when you got out, you started a whole other world of things to do. So now I want you to dive into some of that stuff. I know you've been on a roller coaster since the time you got out. So
let's see. I have been. So when I first got out, I went into hospitality management. I opened up restaurants in different parts of the country. And I did that for a good while and then started kind of helping other small business owners as their wingman get themselves established. And it wasn't until I said about 10 years after I got out that I hit a low point. I was in a very bad relationship. I found myself homeless with just kind of nowhere to go or turn to. And that's when a family member of mine informed me that I was a veteran. And she's like, you know, you need to find someone to help you. Like, there is someone out there that can help you get back on your feet. I'd also suffered a couple of deaths back then. So a lot was going on. And I found out I was a veteran. So I actually went through this whole program and was able to get like transitional housing, help with finding a job, and just really getting back on my feet. So that's kind of how my journey began in realizing, like, one, that the time that I served did matter. And two, that, you know, I could possibly help others with the knowledge that I was gaining, realizing, you know, I took a stumble, but there was a way for me to, another path for me to get back on my feet based on the decisions I had made earlier in life. So I did get back on my feet. I ended up finding the love of my life. And so we did a lot of work together. We were heavily involved in like the ML King Parade in Los Angeles, which is the biggest King Parade nationwide. And we're thinking we're all was well and we were getting on our feet, and we decided we wanted to move to Atlanta. We were going to transfer with my job at the time, still in hospitality. And then the pandemic happened. And when the pandemic happened, we decided we were still ready to move. We wanted to use that VA loan to purchase a home, but we were going to rent for the first year once we moved and then use our VA loan and purchase a home. Once my transfer fell through, we ended up going to Las Vegas, where I'm at now. And within 4 months of being here, I lost my husband to COVID. And so my whole entire life trajectory, vision of what I thought was going to happen completely changed. I was here in Las Vegas where, once again, I did not know hardly anyone. I had all these plans that were really wrapped up in the life that I was living with my husband. And at that point, from the experience that I went through years before and reaching out to veteran resources and then kind of just passing along resources over the years, all I knew to do was to reach out to the veteran community. So I ended up reaching out to Wounded Warrior Project, getting into therapy immediately, and just kind of really leaning in to just not falling into complete darkness. I was also going through therapy before I lost my husband and kind of facing some of my demons from when I was in the military and things that happened there. I kind of brushed over that I was the enlisted aide of this 3-star general. But again, as a young girl and minority, those things in my experience were not, it wasn't a high five. You know, I ended up having to live in quarters with officers in Saudi Arabia where people were living in very shitty quarters, if I could say that. And, you know, I have to be now close to this general. So I inconvenienced people. So I will just say, at the least, I was inconvenienced as well, to let it be known that I had no right to be kind of where I was in the position where I was. So it was a very scary time for me during that time period. And again, like I said, when I got home and got out, I didn't even know that I was a veteran. These were things that I never talked about. I didn't think that they were relevant at all. You just kind of keep trucking and keep trucking. And again, I am a girl from LA. You know, I feel like I have thick skin. I've seen a lot. I grew up, you know, in the 80s drug era in Los Angeles, California. So I'm used to a lot being on my plate. But when I lost my husband, I really just didn't know what life could even look like from there. You know, it changed my whole person. So being able to have this community, just to get acclimated to therapy when you need therapy, just to have referrals to just a resource that can help in that time, has been monumental. And so it's really over the past 2 years filled my passion, turned into my heart's work of what I'm doing, where I am trying to be, where I am a resource now for other women veterans is the demographic that I focus on specifically. And I do focus on minority women because, you know, that is who I am, who I can speak to. And just like I didn't realize that my service counted, I didn't realize that I was a veteran. I didn't realize what things were out there to help me get back on my feet. I always want others to know, you know, you have brothers and sisters in arms that can pick you up.
And they're there. And sometimes it's just looking around to find them. In Las Vegas, there's a, I think there's a large group of veterans in Las Vegas. A lot of people retire out that way, especially from the Air Force and the Army from NTC. I have a buddy that works at NTC and has a place in Vegas that he drives back and forth to. That's a long drive, brother, but it's all you, bro. You can do that. It's a long ride. And knowing that you have that network now probably helps you a lot more to get up every morning, stand up, take that deep breath and say, I am not alone. I have this team. And for you now to also spread that wing and say, I'm here for you. I'm sure that helps you just as much as it helps the person you're talking to.
It absolutely does. Like I said, we can't really predict the way life will come at us at all. And it's just really shifted my perspective and my life work. Like there, I didn't think that this would be the most important aspect of who I am at this point. But right now it's like, that is my heart's work. I don't want people to think that they are alone. It absolutely helps me to get up every day. It forces me to get up every day as well as it heals. And then I also like to share, you know, I'm not okay. You know, I don't want people to think that that's the whole with She Serves Shiro sharing stories. People think because they see you on social media or they see you on different things that, you know, everything is just a happy day, and not at all. You know, I take days where it's still very dark, but I also have such a great network and support team that no one's going to let me stay down for too many days.
They're going to start kicking you in your butt and make you stand up and say, hey,
exactly.
It's not you. You can't be down. You got to be up. And we all got to keep moving forward, stay in the light. You heard in the intro, we talk about the darkness here. I wrote a book called Out of the Darkness, and it resonates with veterans a lot more because we hear the 22, it's really about 44 a day we lose, and it's because they don't think they have anybody. They don't have that purpose anymore. They don't have that motivation to get up and put those boots on or put their clothes on even and move forward. They think they're alone and they're in the dark. And it's people like yourself. It's Willis. It's all the Triple Threat Vet Podcast. All these guys that are out there doing the things and Garrel support to push it forward that we are not alone and we can save our brothers and sisters as we move forward.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you're busy now. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm definitely busy. Yeah. And, you know, the veteran community, like I said, in Las Vegas, one has welcomed me with open arms, but then expanded. Like you said, our mutual friend Willis, when I went on his podcast, he immediately is like, let me introduce you to, you know, these are the people we need to talk to. If you're having a podcast or surrounding veteran topics, let's make sure that we get you in with the veterans that have the podcast. And yep. It's just that kind of camaraderie in this community always.
Right. And I didn't start this for awards. I mean, I got one early on, but I did it to each help one person. If we can help one person, me and you talk tonight and someone's listening and they say, I like what they're saying resonates with me. I want to move forward tomorrow. I don't want to dwell on something that bothered me yesterday or whatever. I can fight through this and live. Then me and you were successful tonight. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. You know, on She Served Shiro's, we kind of ask the same thing, you know, just how like you're asking me, what's your story? Who are you? And everyone is going to have a completely different story. But like you said, as long as it resonates with one person, I believe there's so much power in just sharing your story to help someone else with their healing journey.
Definitely. And for you, since you left Beach Life, went to the Air Force, went to the desert, you went to sand, you didn't go to the really beach, and now you're in Vegas. Do you drive back to the beach to get some waves just to get some new time, or do you stay away from it?
So right now I do not. I mean, I love the water. Again, when I am low, that is one of the spaces for me to be able to clear my head. I feel like, you know, growing up on the beach where there's an ocean, it just puts things in perspective. When you look at the vastness of just this water never ending and how small you are, it kind of makes you realize that, like, we're a grain of sand. So I really love being at the beach for healing. But right now in the space that I'm at, I still get kind of sad when I go to LA, just for a number of reasons. And so right now it's just the desert here. I will not be here in Las Vegas forever. I definitely appreciate the time I have. I have a lot of work to get done while I am here, but this will not be, God willing, my final resting place. I really want to get back to the South. You're in Tennessee. I was in North Carolina for 7 years and I love the South. I want to get where it's green and four seasons.
Four seasons would be great, yes. Not just hot and sort of hot. So I went to Vegas for the first time this past summer. Me and my wife went out there for, I think, 4 days, 5 days, and it was just miserably hot every day. We drove out to the dam. As soon as I got in the car, my God, how do people live here? I said, this is worse than being in Iraq and Afghanistan.
It's very aggressive. You know, like when I was in Saudi Arabia, I can't say it's worse than that. Back in those days, which I can't believe I'm saying back in those days, but, you know, I was during the time where women military members had to wear the full BDU or desert BDUs, and then the abaya on top, you know, so it was like, whew.
I guess suffocating would be a good word.
Right, in that 120 degree weather.
Yes, and every day.
Every day.
So in Vegas now, so you get so I guess it goes down to 90 at some point in Vegas, and that's freezing probably. So.
No, actually, right now we're having like high winds. It just gets aggressive. They have monsoon season here. I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to be in this desert. The weather is telling us it does not want us here.
Hey, get out. It's like those horror movies that tell you to get out. You're supposed to listen.
All right.
You're supposed to listen. And poor guys told you to get out of the house. Get out. Just leave.
But the community here, like you said, a lot of veterans retire here. And then there's a lot of tech development here in Las Vegas as well. So it's just a really buzzing industry, you know, energy here outside of the strip, you know, that's just some great things happening. So I'm really happy to be in Las Vegas right now. And again, like I said, the veteran community here, you can kind of get lost in Los Angeles, you know, with just reaching out to people versus here. You really can direct connect people a lot better with, you know, not just call this number, but here's the direct person that you can talk to. I can connect you to someone literally and, you know, get you the resources or whatever it is that you need in the right direction.
Definitely. And it's more personal, I guess it'd be a good word there. Like you said, off the there, you so much going to almost every major event is coming to Las Vegas right now. You just had the Super Bowl. You had NASCAR today, this whole weekend. Get Formula One this summer, and then you got the awesome sphere thing there that's pretty amazing looking. And the WNBA, I think All-Star Game was there when I was there in this summer as well. Everyone's going out there to, I guess, help the economy, boost the economy out there on the periphery of that strip, the craziness of the strip.
We have rugby here this weekend too. Like you said, all the sports are here in Vegas.
was that in the arena? Hopefully not outside.
Yeah, it's at the Allegiant Stadium this weekend where the Raiders play.
Okay, that's a lot safer. Good. Yeah. And you got hockey there to get the Las Vegas Knights. So, and, of course, they won the Stanley Cup, so that's good. And you have the Oakland A's are moving there. Everyone wants to go there, and now you want to come back to us in the South. So that's all. You're more than welcome to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, the people in the South are so nice and so rich with spirit. And I've lived in big cities my entire life. I like the calm of, you know, when you ask someone in LA, hey, let's get together, they pull out their calendar. In the South, when you say, let's get together, they say, I get off at 4.
Yep. Where you want to meet?
Where you want to meet?
Where you want to meet? We got this. We can hang out together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. Really, I'll see you today.
Dang it, you really want to do this, especially if you're used to the calendar stuff. Oh, man, now I have to do this today. I was waiting for a calendar invite, and I have to meet you in like a month and a half.
Exactly. So completely different.
Takes a little bit to get used to. So besides all the stuff you're doing with the She Serves Heroes and I guess advocating for women veterans of color and getting out there and helping your fellow sisters and brothers, what else do you got going?
So I also have Oliver Davis Consulting as my business. And I was able to launch business with my longtime friend and partner. We basically had I lost my husband again, I've always done side work. Like I said, I've always done independent contractor work. I've always helped small businesses and I had work coming to me, but I was in a space where I really felt like I couldn't do the work alone. And my partner, she has always done projects and been an entrepreneur as well. And just became a time that we could kind of work together. So there was a project that we started out on. And from there, business just started coming to us to the point where I had to actually leave my full-time job that I was working, which I was working as a veteran career coach. So again, I'm just pouring myself into the veteran community. And so when we started our job, our business, we again tapped into veteran resources and got in with the Bunker Labs community. And Bunker Labs is for, you know, entrepreneurs that are military veterans and spouses. And they just have amazing programs. And once you're in that network, in my experience, it just seemed like doors really just started to open. So we first did the Breaking Barriers and Entrepreneurship cohort, which was, I believe, 8 weeks, but all virtual. That cohort is broken down into demographics. So we did the women's Breaking Barriers in Entrepreneurship cohort with Renee Bob, who has been just a wonderful contact. She has a grant writing, well, not grant writing, a grant list that comes out once a month. Shout out to Renee Bob and her grant list. And then we were able to do the veteran in residence 6 month cohort. So basically we've been doing I say digital marketing, but kind of whatever we need to do to support a small business with building out CRMs, setting up email marketing, social media management, making digital products and things like that, just to streamline small business owners. I mean, it's surprising how many people are still on paper or, you know, just don't have systems and automations in place to make their lives easier. And when you get someone kind of all streamlined in, they can really quickly start seeing more money, they can scale, and just kind of see their time increase and where they can actually be focusing their energy. So it's been great working in that aspect, but it's kind of just been hand in hand as we're helping entrepreneurs. We've been focusing on female entrepreneurs kind of specifically. So it goes right back in line with She Serves Heroes. And then we started the She Serves Heroes podcast at the end of the quarter last year and filed for our nonprofit. And now on Saturday, we will have a table at the Nevada Veteran Department of Services. We'll have their women's conference this Saturday, Women's History Month. And then next month, we've partnered with the Women Veteran Alliance, founded by Melissa Washington. And we'll have our first in-person event, the Women Veteran Engage Conference. This is a conference that's held in 13 different cities so far. This is her third year doing it, where there's going to be simulcasted, streamed in all these different locations at once. And it's just growing. So She Serves Heroes is hosting the Women Veteran Engage in April. And we're really excited about that, too, just to have these impactful in-person sessions to bring the network together and also just really get some great professional development and personal development so that wherever these women veterans are can work towards their next stage in life and their next stage in healing.
That's outstanding. And you're doing amazing things. And of course, you're not resting, of course, but you're helping them to get that success in their eyes and see that there is awesomeness ahead of them. They can see that light and push forward, get their business off the ground and do the things that they really have that passion for. And you mentioned Bunker Labs. After my sixth episode of my show, I put a call out on Bunker Labs Facebook page, and my next 12 shows were all veteranpreneurs. Tell me about their stuff.
Yeah.
That was my next whole, they jumped on. Yeah, I'll do it. That's before I went video, so I'll probably go back in there to get some more to do on video to show their face, to show their brand, and maybe get a little more turn for them. And because I did the Bunker Labs, the virtual thing, because when I got out, I didn't know what to do with my hands. I was trying to find a job. I didn't know if I wanted an entrepreneur. I didn't know what I wanted to work. I just didn't know what I wanted to do with my hands because I wasn't getting no bites with the resume. And I did the Bunker Labs, and I loved the hanging out with the guys and gals and just talking to people and seeing their what their ideas were. These are awesome. And it, like you said, it just resonates with us to get all together and push forward. And they're a great organization.
Absolutely.
And also used Wounded Warrior Project when I got wounded. So I fell right into Wounded Warrior Project. And then the mission continues. I worked for them for 2 years. And now I'm the chapter captain of Travis Banion Foundation here in Clarksville. So I keep a lot of things going as well. Kind of like you. Awesome.
We'll also be, have you heard of another, I like to just share resources. We just got into the IVMF Veteran Edge program. Syracuse Education has a whole department as well, like a Bunker Labs. Actually, Bunker Labs is part of IVMF now, but the Institute for Veterans and Military Families at Syracuse.edu. So we got into the Veteran Edge program, which will be Dallas, March 20th through 22nd. Looking forward to that. And then they do have a program for women entrepreneurs, spouses, and veterans, VYs as well. I mean, not only just for women, they have entrepreneurship programs. They have all kinds of programs, IVMF at Syracuse.
They have the PMP program too. They used to have it. They would pay for your testing and everything. And I have friends that went through the PMP program and now they get to put PIMP at the end of their names. And I think, I don't know if that's why they did it or what, but they get to put PIMP there. So they're happy.
Right.
So PIMP, it ain't easy. So Marquetta, where do you see yourself and all the things you're doing in the next 5 years?
So with the She Serves Sheroes, that is really the main focus, is to make this a standing veteran service organization. We started, like I said, with the podcast. We're doing the in-person events, the online events. We've been having just kind of little workshops where we're teaching things. We're trying to provide resources. But the vision would be to actually have a standing organization that could be a shared workspace, as well as one stop for all of your resources, whether you're coming in to talk to a VSO to get service connected. There are a lot of veterans overall, but again, I'm speaking about the demographic that I serve, that never even go into the VA healthcare. They're not interested in going into the VA because of a number of reasons, or other veteran service organizations they may perceive as not being as welcoming. A lot of women face, you know, that are you the spouse versus being accepted as initially the veteran? And we want a space that is focused specifically on this demographic, because as we know, the MST numbers are astounding. And that's only what is reported. Just like when we talk about the 22, that's only of what is reported. We know that number is closer to double that. And same with female military members. We really want to change, impact change, implement change, and make sure that women know the things that they're entitled to, that they have the support that they need, and also to be a part of changing some of the practices in the healthcare system. Another story is I had a miscarriage. And at the VA, when I got my sonogram, you know, it's a procedure at the VA. It's not like, you know, when you go to a regular doctor, if you're in the civilian world and you're in with your spouse, getting your sonogram and watching the baby's heartbeat. No, I'm in this radiation room by myself getting an X-ray procedure done. And I didn't know that the baby didn't have a heartbeat because the radiologist can't tell me anything. They have to tell the doctor. The doctor has to tell me. My doctor was in the process of going on vacation. Long story short, I did not know that my baby did not even make it until some time later. Then I had to wait for TRICARE to have this whole procedure, to have this surgically removed from me. So it ended up being 6 weeks of me having a dead fetus in me trying to be removed. And those are the things that are just unacceptable, where female members, we just have to find some type of equality.
And then that's a horrible thing to go through for you, for any woman. To go through that, especially like you said, you're in that room alone. Your significant other isn't allowed to enter the VA unless you're, I guess, the only time I've seen a significant other go in is when it's probably one of the World War II veterans or Korean War veterans, the older people that are going in there and in a wheelchair, then they're either a caregiver or whatever goes in there. When I've gone in for procedures, it's just me in a cold room. It's always cold, whatever, for whatever reason, it's freezing in those rooms. And you get a person that is not personable, not sociable, and they do their thing. And then, oh, hey, your doctor will get with you. And like in your case, it was too late. And by that time, damage is done both mentally and physically for you. And that's horrible.
So the goal is to have standing buildings and to make a national service organization. My goal would be where I next move next to start another branch of the She Serves, She Rose community. And then that just be, you know, another source that women know, you know, I have some questions. I know exactly where I can go. I can head over to the She Serves, She Rose community and get some answers.
And that's an awesome thing to do. Grow that network with the She Serves, She Rose. And that gives women of color, women, all women veterans, a safe place. A safe place where they feel welcome, where it's just y'all, and it's not us over there, just the good old boys doing what we do, and you guys have that safe place, and you can do whatever you guys do over there, and besides the good stuff, you do other things as well. So, but everything helps each other out.
Exactly, and it's so great to have the support of the community as well. You know, when you have just other military members like yourself that aren't saying, you know, well, we're all the same. We all face the same things. But to say, you know what? Here's something that is women specific. I'm glad that you're here to, you know, focus on that. And it's having people that support and understand, too, that we just really appreciate.
And it gives me, when a female veteran talks to me, I say, go talk to Marquetta. That's your source. It's not me. I can't help you with any of that stuff. I know someone that can.
So, yeah. I know somebody that can. Absolutely. Right.
And that's the best thing we can do for each other is always point in the right direction, point and click. And if they don't help you, then we get on the person that we pointed them to and say, hey, what are you doing? Why did you not help them? Or maybe they didn't tell me the whole story and they told you a different story. So, and that's another thing we need to work on as veterans, just telling the whole story up front and getting things settled right away so we can get that help.
Absolutely. And again, with us sharing and always being transparent, it helps other people as well to share their story. I just met someone just yesterday that, you know, is accomplished, doing well, entrepreneur, all of the things. And, you know, she kind of leaned over and whispered and was like, you know, I didn't know if I should put MST on anything. Like, I didn't know if I should talk about that. And these are the things that it's like, you know, just all the time, like, you know, tell your truth, talk about what happened so that others, like I, again, another woman that I just spoke to, so that we can start making some preventative measures, maybe helping, you know, girls that don't have good backgrounds that are going into the military, help them with preventative measures to go in and not end up coming out as a survivor.
Right. Definitely. And the numbers, like you said earlier, I know the number they report is like 1 in 4 or 5%, I guess they call it. But I know it's way harder than that. I served in co-ed units most of my career, and I've seen a lot of horrible things happen. And I tried my best to fix it, but I was not that person. So hopefully it gets fixed as we go forward.
Yeah.
So we talked about everything you're doing, all the awesome things you're doing. Where are you going? How do people get in touch with you?
So you can reach out to just She Served, She Rose. And I know that is a tongue twister, SSS, She Served, She Rose. .org is the website. It's in process right now of revamping the website, so forgive me on that. But if you Google She Served, She Rose, any platform on social media or the website, you are going to get to us. On all of the platforms. And although right now we are focusing a lot on the podcast, we definitely want to hear from women that want to share their stories and their journeys. We want to highlight your experience. Most of our women that we've been interviewing also happen to be entrepreneurs. Again, because of our leadership in the military, so many of us as veterans are entrepreneurs. So we really try to provide a lot of resources for that entrepreneurship journey, because again, it's just about spreading knowledge and knowing. There's so many resources to help you get your business in order and to help it scale, to make sure that all of your paperwork is done right, to make sure, you know, you're just doing the correct things, or finding virtual assistants and all of the things that you need. There's so many resources out there. So trying to provide those for women as well. So if you want to share your story, we want you to reach out. But if you're just looking for a community overall, or you have questions, or you're trying to figure out how do I get in touch with whatever it is that you're looking for, please, again, reach out to the She Serves, She Rose community.
Outstanding. And that website is going across the bottom for those watching this on video. For those of you who will listen to us on the audio, it will be in the show notes along with all of her, all of Marquetta's links, all our Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. It's all there so you can listen to her show, get in contact with her, and get the help you don't think you got to do this alone. Marquetta, last thing, three bits of advice you want to give the audience to get out of their own way and be successful.
Is one, don't be afraid to be your authentic self. Who you are is the prize. So lead with genuine who you are first. Two, do not be afraid to ask for help. When we ask for help is when we actually are opening ourselves up with kind of an open hand versus a closed fist. And we're ready more to receive when we ask for help. Also, when we ask for help, we can also help others. And three, I would say is, you know, always work on healing yourself. A lot of times we kind of stumble over things, especially as veterans, and just keep trucking and everything is okay. But it's okay to be vulnerable. And as we heal ourselves, you really have a better quality of life. Not saying that all days are going to be great days. Like I said, there are definitely still days that I just want to bury my head in the sand. I have faced a lot of turmoil, a lot of loss. However, I'm here. I want the time that I'm here on this planet to count, and I want to inspire others. So same thing. If you're hurting, find a way to heal.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Please write that down. Take that website. Reach out to Marquetta. Reach out to me. I will get you in contact with her, and we will both do our best to help you get out of that darkness and stay with us a little longer. Marquetta, thank you so much for taking some of your Sunday night, even though it's a little earlier for you, but thank you for hanging out with us. And anytime you want to come back on and tell us your progress, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Rich. I've been looking forward to hanging out with you. Like I said, when I met Willis, he had great things to say about you. Congratulations on everything you're doing. Misfit Nation is out here killing it, and we're so glad to just be in contact with you. Looking forward to connecting more.
Definitely. Have a good night.
Thanks. Good night.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Did you serve in the military? If so, you can obtain a free lifetime pass to more than 2,000 federal recreation sites. These sites are located across more than 400 million acres of public lands, including national parks, wildlife refuges, and forests. The lands host activities to fit any lifestyle: hiking, biking, fishing, camping, and much more. Gold Star families are also eligible for these free lifetime passes. Plus, they cover entrance fees for a driver and all passengers in a car, or up to three additional adults at sites that charge per person. Obtaining one is easy. Just go to the National Park Service website, nps.gov, or the National Park Service app.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation show. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all our past episodes and get some of the great Misfit Nation gear for you and your family. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are
Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation.